See, it's there in the book for you to experiment with. What's not in the book is that, because I thought it was a little foul, but you're so quick here, you'll get it. You know that science in our time, I draw a lot from system science, but there's also what's emerging and was also in systems thinking is a holographic view of the universe. A scientist, Carl Prebram, and others have, and even von Bertalanffy, originator of the father of systems theory, says that there's not only the part within the whole, and parts come together, and then the whole they make is more than the sum of the parts. You've heard me go on about that. But the whole is in the part. So within each of us, just as you recapitulate ontology, recapitulating phylogeny in the mother's womb, the whole story is in each of us. This is coming true in, not coming true, but being seen in science today, books like The Holographic Universe. A scientist, how am I doing on time? I'm okay. where I teach it in San Francisco at the California Institute of Integral Studies, there's not only great people like Brian Swam, but also Stanislav Grof, who used mind-altering substances, particularly LSD, to help people reclaim memories, what they call perinatal memories, from their birth experience that could help them understand their orientation, particular orientation to life. When he wasn't permitted to work with LSD, he used holotropic breathing. And with that breathing, also could induce very much the same effect. But what he found was that people began revealing whole phylogenetic sequences and anatomical details, secrets of life that they, in their biography, would not have had exposure to or known. So you can see there is the story of the universe inside each of us. And of course, mystics, maybe that was what Julian of Norwich was feeling too, as well as Meister Eckhart. The whole thing is within each of us too. And it is in Mahayana Buddhism as well. There is a school called Huayan Buddhism where they scriptures using great extravagant language as if words just tumbling out of each other and everything is in superlatives. But they well, you know, it's like a holographic image in photography. You should put aim a beam of light on one corner, but brings the whole thing in. So there's the whole story in each one. So what seems to be happening now is not only that there is a activation of a deep ecological awareness of interexistence with other life forms, and then helping us work through, you know, create new legal structures and steps to bring forth a more fair and sustainable life in order to survive. But there is also an activation in us of the presence of the ancestors and the future beings. And this is activated, this is Joanna's theory, is that when our karma, that is consequences of our actions, don't just last a generation or seven generations, but when we do something that lasts forever, and that's in our lifetimes, that's with genetic modification. You scramble those genes and chromosomes, you can't unscramble them. That's with radiation, as I've told you. You get that depleted uranium out there, which is the densest, most radioactive stuff, and it's a dollar a ton. You take it off in the course of the refinement of making fuel rods, and so we use it. It goes very far, pierces tanks and everything. And that this, it's like time, instead of that arrow, it's circling around. So imagine that coming around in a circle, and we are here, and the past generations and the future generations are around us. They're dancing around us, or they're like that cloud of witnesses. And we can feel them, and they seem to be pressing more on us, or maybe it's the situation we're in. We're more open to that. They're coming into dreams, but they're also coming into living conscious visions. A poem by Thich Nhat Hanh. Imagine it being directed to you, which it is. Being rock, being gas, being mist, being mind, being the mesons traveling among galaxies with the speed of light, you have come here, my beloved ones. Your eyes shine so beautiful and deep. You have taken the path traced for you by both the non-beginning and the never-ending. On your way here, you have gone through millions of births and deaths. Innumerable times, you have been transformed into firestorms in outer space. You have used your own body to measure the age of the mountains and rivers. You have manifested yourself as trees, as grass, as butterflies, as single-celled beings, and as chrysanthemums. But the eyes with which you look at me this morning tell me that you never died. And your smile invites me to the game whose beginning no one knows. The game of hide and seek. Oh, green caterpillar, you are solemnly using your body to measure the length of the rose branch that grew last summer. Everyone says that you, my dear one, were just born this spring, but tell me, how long have you been around? Your deep and silent smile, why wait until not this moment to reveal yourself to me? Oh, caterpillar, suns, moons, and stars flow out each time I exhale. Who knows that the infinitely large must be found in your tiny body? Upon each point on your body, thousands of Buddha fields have been established. And with each stretch of your body, you measure time from the non-beginning and the never-ending. And then there's four last lines, and it uses the phrase, the great mendicant of old. He's referring to Sakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha that we know in our time of 2,500 years ago. The great mendicant of old is still there on the vulture peak contemplating the ever-splendid sunset. Gautama, how strange. Who said that the Udumbara flower blooms only once every 3,000 years? That's a myth that whenever there's going to be a Buddha, there's this certain flower. But he says, listen, the sound of the rising tide. You can't help hearing it if you have an attentive ear. And that rising tide is that this time, there are many Buddhas. This time, we all have to awaken. This time, we can all take part in that epical experience. This time, that's the only way out. This time, that's the great good news. And as far as that's the what's past, but as far as the future, one of my teachers, radiologist, nun, Sister Rosalie Bertel, died 3 years ago, I think, last month, this coming month. She says she's an expert witness on many a trial of nuclear, anti-nuclear activists. Great researcher. She says, every being who will ever live in Earth is here now. Where? In our ovaries and in our gonads and in our DNA. Every being who will ever live in Earth is here now. So of course we feel them. Let yourself feel them. You are acting for them. And they can guide you. They can support you. They've got a great sense of humor. Mine apparently hang out around my left shoulder. You will find that there, because that's the way life works. It's holographic. And we are in, by some great good fate, some great blessing, where it's us here this time when so much depends on what happens. So I have another poem. I mean, no, I don't. So this, when we think of the deep time work, which is for me the favorite part, the most vitalizing part, and don't you find that too? Yeah. Is that you realize that it's going to take a while. But that's okay. Because it took quite a while to get to this point of insanity and madness and impasse. So it'll take, but it doesn't matter. So this is called 1,000 years of healing. If the healing's going to take 1,000 years, does it matter to you? Are you going to say, no, I'll only do if it's by Thursday? What's greater than being on this beautiful planet doing 1,000 years of healing? Okay, this is a poem by Sousa Silvermarie. From whence my hope, I cannot say, except it grows in the cells of my skin. In my envelope of mysteries, it hums. In this sheath, so akin to the surface of earth, it whispers. Beneath the moaning and dissonance in the world, hope's song grows. Until I know that with this turning, we put a broken age to rest. We who are alive at such a cusp, now usher in 1,000 years of healing. Winged ones and four-leggeds, grasses and mountains and each tree, all the swimming creatures, even we, wary two-leggeds, hum and call and create the changing song. We remake our relations. We convert our minds to the earth. In this turning, we finally learn to chime and blend, attune our voices, sing the vision of the great magic we move within. We begin the new habit, getting up glad for 1,000 years of healing. And that's on my website too. In the school of Buddhism that I mentioned, which has this holographic view of life, which is logically implicit in the central doctrine of the Buddha, which was the radical interdependence, indeed interexistence, interbeing of all phenomena. And so that also then, they dare to see that as an interdependence between past, present, and future. Because with, as I was saying, did I get to that? When we have these means, fracking, genetic modification, we can't take the chemicals out of the water, so that's also forever. When our karma lasts forever, when we do something like that, it's like it brings the distant future, whoop, right here. You do something in a hurry for money or out of bureaucratic pressure, but actually the future is right in your face. So in this practice, I told that I'd like to give you a practice, but you have to use your hands. So this is in the scripture, and it's of the scripture that first talked about the bodhisattva, that we're all bodhisattvas, that there's no private salvation, that each of us in our heart has an immense heart. As St. Francis said, una immensa vita in your heart. Hey, isn't it great to have Pope Francis? Yeah, how can we not give our all when we're handed that? Yeah, so this is very quick, but I want you to just have that. So it's called the meditation of transformation and jubilation. And it's in my book, so don't write it down. Just listen with your heart. It's called the Great Ball of Merit. Okay, so it says this meditation of transformation and jubilation. This is how you do it. The bodhisattva, sitting quietly, opens his mind and looks out through the mind to see all the beings of her or his time, all the beings living now. So you have to have a pretty big landscape in your mental view, and maybe some mountain ranges And don't need the people have to be quite small, but they're all there. They're just all the ones, humans and more than humans.